Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new edition of Pod by the Bay. I'm your host, Nathan Vaughn. Joining alongside me, Seth Barnador. Seth, your South Florida Bulls get shut out of the NCAA tournament. And seemingly it wasn't particularly close that they were even a fringe bubble team toward the end there. We'll kind of get into that. But they are in the NIT with their stupid newfangled rules. They are going on the road to Oviedo to face the Central Florida Knights Tuesday at 9 p.m. on ESPN Plus. So always fun when your postseason games are not on linear television. That's always super lit. Can't wait to see the ratings on that. But first and foremost, your South Florida Bulls get bounced in the semifinals against a eventual bid-stealing conference champion in the UAB Blazers, who defeated Temple. Yes, Temple. In the AAC finals to steal a bid. And that's just kind of how the weekend worked out for your Bulls. The other side of the bracket set up perfectly, and you couldn't capitalize.
So we haven't gotten your thoughts. Steeg and I spoke right after the UAB game, or not right after, but that night. What were your thoughts on the game overall? We kind of we didn't blame the officiating, but we thought it wasn't great. Kind of both sides of it were pretty bad. You know, one thing that we discussed is anytime you're giving out four technicals in a game and there's not like a big fight, seems like you probably didn't have a great handle on the game. So what were your thoughts on the game overall? You know, I know there's to me that 2-point possession where you're down two and then you get a seven free throws before you get the ball back is tough. But what were your thoughts?
Not having Corey Walker was probably underrated in how it changed the outcome in the course of that game. USF, it was clear all season. They didn't have the bodies inside to be able to sustain that. And UAB took advantage. UAB was more aggressive, more physical the first time they met, where they – you know, they lit USF up to a tune of 41 free throws. So, you know, when you shoot combined 71, I believe it got they shot 30 on Saturday. When you shoot a combined 71 and you're not even close to, you know, half that or, you know, a little bit close, maybe 50 combined for USF in both games. I mean, that's going to be the difference. And
it's 20. I think it's 22-19.
Yeah. So
in the two games. So yeah, obviously Walker, and then that changes the rotation because he had been starting, and then so then Cason Pryor starting, and then the Hines injury. You know, it seems like he ran into a little bit of bad luck as well in terms of the injury bug.
Yeah.
Also, you had some guys that were shooting like 25% from three, you know, shoot like 40% in the game for UAB. But you also left like their best 3-point shooter open a couple times and he hurt you. So it wasn't all bad luck. But, you know, I think the most frustrating thing is, and what the guys I said after is like, UAB is a team that if you're a UAB fan, you're probably like, yeah, this is a tough, gritty, hard-nosed team. I love it. And if you're not, you're like, this team is so hateable. So,
right,
kind of one of those things. But, you know, if they keep shooting, we talked about in tournament settings, if somebody get a hot shooting, which is why we wanted ECU to win because they were a terrible shooting team. Well, UAB wasn't great, but they kind of got hot shooting for their kind of what they had, their season averages. If they can kind of carry that over to the NCAA tournament, they'll give some people some problems, I think, just because how they've got some bigger bodies, they're really physical. If they shoot well, then they could be pretty tough.
Yeah, and, you know, I think what we saw from the selection committee was there was a general sense of respect for the American, with FAU getting bounced by Temple and still getting a 8 seed.
Yeah, I took it that they had these things set before. They had a lot of the things set before their conference tournaments.
And
is how I kind of took a lot of the seeding in this.
Yeah, it seemed like they were just waiting to see.
USF would have been the 12.
Right.
And then, all right, we'll just flip them out and put UAB in.
Yeah, essentially, that's kind of how it works. You know, and we'll talk about, you know, the grievances, the gripes that USF may, or in, maybe in this case, may not have about making the tournament. It just, it sucks. It's a weird way to end the season, and it kind of dampens the mood a little bit. I want to address this first and foremost. There were multiple, and not just like some of like the, you know, the classic, like, you know, people behind burner accounts saying, oh, USF, don't accept the bid.
The rage account.
Right. Don't accept the bid. Don't accept the NIT bid. We got snubbed. We got snubbed. No, you didn't. You didn't get snubbed. You didn't get snubbed, all right? Here's how I know you didn't get snubbed. You lost to Central Michigan and you lost to Maine, all right? And then you lost two of your last three in games that everybody knew that you needed to win to make the tournament. You needed to win the conference tournament. Point blank, period. There was no ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. And if you go around the country over the last 24, 48 hours and look at every single story about, okay, what teams really got snubbed from the NCAA tournament, USF is never mentioned. You want to know why? Because they weren't really that close. They needed to win the freaking conference tournament. Why so much stock is put into the conference tournament? We all know why. Money, big bucks. It's how they generate revenue, right? But, and I get it. The system is what the system is, and you have to play within the system, which is why people, you know, railing against net and all of this stuff, doesn't matter. Win your freaking games and you'll get in. And for people to think that USF, who has had maybe six good seasons in the 53-year history of this entire basketball program, should decline an invite to the NIT is preposterous. It's asinine. It is the most entitled USF thing I could ever imagine.
But I think that's not just a USF fan thing. Like, how many people said, you know, and this is not even close in terms of the snub, but like, you didn't really hear Indiana State saying that they shouldn't accept the NIT bid. But, you know, when Florida State got snubbed, and that's like a real snub, you heard people saying, oh, they shouldn't play the bowl game. Don't play the bowl game. And how many times have we seen teams where, you know, especially, you know, around the COVID stuff, if they didn't have a great end of the season, they would just decline. And for fans, like, just decline the bowl game, just decline the bowl game. So it's, I think it's more common now. I don't think it's just a, you know, just, but it, I think it just shows the frustration where when your margin is so thin, and you knew it was thin, we talked about it, you know, 2 weeks ago. I said the Tulsa game doesn't really matter. Because the only way you're getting in is winning the conference tournament. And that was the only way they were getting in. There's something Colin told us like a month and a half ago. He's like, listen, we don't need to rain on the parade, but everyone I talk to says they're not getting in the tournament. They're not getting in unless they win the conference tournament. Right. That's, it doesn't, I mean, matter if they win out. They have to win the conference tournament.
Was the FAU, it was the FAU game that USF won. I believe there was the graphic of Joe Lunardi saying, just one word answer, no. When asked by the ESPN producers, will USF be a bubble team? No. Your out of conference schedule sucked. All right.
Here's my question. This is one question I have that I think is somewhat interesting in terms of just win the games. If they replace those three losses with losses to, you know, Duke, North Carolina, and Clemson or something like that, do you think they're in? or they're close.
I think they're mentioned in the
right. It's just today. It's just like it, even at the same record, but it's just like. And I thought Coach Amir had a good, you know, answer on that. And he's like, listen, like, he's like, I maybe got to pick three of the games, and they're out of conference. He's like, everything, we were locked into a lot of these games before he even got hired. So,
right.
It's kind of just an unfortunate reality, and there's not much that could be done. And the, like you said, the reality of the situation is, like, if you can't schedule better games, then you better win them all. So,
and you know, that
sucks, think, but know, that's just kind of the way it is.
Like Indiana State,
yeah, they have a real gripe.
They have a gripe.
Highest rated team ever in the net to be left out of the NCAA tournament.
29th. And USF was what, 70?
I think they're in the 70s.
70s? Like there are way better teams that are left out.
Way better way better resume. I think that's the toughest part too. I think this would be a tough team for anybody to play.
Absolutely.
Without ties. Like, with teams that are huge, big, it's not a great matchup, which I think we might talk about here in a second. But, unfortunately. But, like, this would not be a team you'd want to play. But there is that resume factor in here. And this is not one of the top resumes left out, yeah. Unfortunately. Even though really great. Those just bad losses weigh it down so much, kind of, which is unfortunate because, you know, the last 2 months, they're like a top 45-ish team.
Right.
Which is still, once you add in all the automatic qualifiers, still probably on the outside looking in of at largest. So it stinks. But
here's where we can kind of take a page from women's basketball, right? Like, they know that their conference kind of sucks. Right. And like historically, their conference has sucked. So they've had to get creative, do these multi-team tournaments in like the, you know, the Bahamas, things like that, Las Vegas, to get their net rating up, their RPI, whatever it was, up high enough to counteract the bottom half of the American, right? Especially when UConn left. Now, this season aside, women's basketball has been able to withstand, you know, one or two losses, still get a conference, still, you know, get a bid because of how good their non-conference is. And like, I understand, like, quality losses are such a freaking joke because the point is to play and win the games. But at some point you have to weigh like the good and the bad of like, okay, we went 24-7. Okay. If we could change a couple of those quad four wins, you know, against like Arkansas Pine Bluff or South Carolina State to like quality losses against, you know, a Duke or a Syracuse, somebody. Is it better?
If you change like two of the wins and all the three worst losses to all quad one losses, is the resume better? Is the odd part.
It looks better. I mean, it helped FAU, right? They beat Arizona by one in overtime. Yeah. Like they lost to Illinois, who was the eventual
Big Ten.
Right, Illinois, who was the eventual Big Ten conference champion. Like, it helps.
The tough part, I think, is for fans to reconcile is we watched FAU play a lot this year in conference. And this was not some juggernaut. You know, this was a team that was beatable, finished second in the conference by a few games. It's like when, you know, everyone's expecting them to be top, you know, I think they were top.
Preseason top 10.
Yeah. So, and I saw, and that's why I think to your point about you don't leave out these tournaments, you don't decline. I saw Ken Pomeroy, basically the guy that runs Ken Pom. I think he basically said, listen, one of the reasons FAU is so highly rated in all these metrics is because they started out really highly rated. Like, their expectations were super high at the beginning of the year.
Right.
So this dip later in the year in form doesn't hurt them as much as somebody that starts out, you know, lower and then loses, it gets even lower. You're not able to make up that ground. You'll lose ground more slowly late than you can make up late, it seems like. So,
and you, I mean, you had a great line in the Discord basically saying FAU's hot tournament run got them two bids.
Yeah, they were so hot last year, they got two NCAA tournament bids out of it.
I mean,
basically, they're outside of the Arizona game, which is obviously huge. Their resume and USF's resume aren't all that different. No. But they got that Arizona game, which was part of it they got because of their performance in the postseason last year is the reason they got that game.
Right.
And then, obviously, winning that game is huge. And then the preseason expectations let them start out really higher. It really seems to me like if you start your season really fast, that sticks in the minds of the committee more, unless you totally tank at the end. You could start, if you start out really fast and then play like, you know, 600 ball the rest of the way, or, you know, 550 ball the rest of the way, the committee's, oh, it's a long season. It seems like the teams that start out really hot build themselves a lot of cushion. Like Alabama, they started out super hot. They ended the season with arguably a worse resume than Auburn and Florida, who beat them twice. And then Auburn gets a lower seed, Florida gets a lower seed in the tournament because they had a bunch of marquee games early, won a couple, and doesn't matter that they've kind of faltered a little bit down the stretch. So,
yeah.
Out of conference seems to be more and more important every year, and especially, like you said, important when your conference isn't thought of super well.
Right. And even, you know, you beat Central Michigan or whatever, you do that. It doesn't help when you're like your marquee out of conference game is Florida State and they are just awful this year.
Yeah.
So, like, that's just super unfortunate. I think they're Florida State's 83rd in KenPom. I think USF finished, what, 89th? So you don't even really get that big of a bump. From when USF and Florida State played, there were 100 spots between them.
Yeah, 183 and 83,
and it sucks. But you know, you lose to Maine, Hofstra, UMass. Like you go 2-4 your first six games. Like, bro, it's so hard. Like you start the preseason ranked 127th. And after those four losses, you've already plummeted to 183. And there's just so much. This is KenPom, obviously.
Yeah.
There's just so much ground to make up, and it's tough. It's tough to do that.
And for reference, 183 is like Tulsa ECU neighborhood. Is about what Tulsa's, I think, is 183, and ECU's 190. So. You're kind of right. That's where you were, and you were able to get up to 83 with this run. It's just, you know, you can't classify it as a snub, but I do think it sucks. And then the compounding effect of the new structure of the NIT, I think, is what kind of
that one broke my brain. I'll be honest,
is what really pissed people off, because this is just really dumb, you know. So you go from that to not even getting the host. So that's kind of a, like, you're not even in, you know, the first eight out or whatever, because right now you get eight, that's what is there, eight home teams, which are more than that. So it's tough. Well, it's more than that. It's eight a thing or four a thing. So
yeah,
16 home 16. Team. So you're not even the first 16 out is what it feels like. Right, which,
and with the opt-outs, that you're probably not even the first like 23.
Yeah, this is what it feels like, even though it really is, you're not in one of the first four non-power conferences. So
right now, that's the the negative part. And I like, when you're like, my general thesis is win your freaking games and this doesn't matter. However, the fact that USF is even in this position to have this sort of conversation in men's basketball is light years ahead of where I thought they were going to be game one back in, what, November? Like, you tell me November 9th, 2023, USF is going to be the regular season conference champion and have a semi case to make the NCAA tournament. I'm in. Sign me up. Where do I go? USF, you tell me yeah. November 9th, USF's going to make the NIT. Sign me up. Where do I go?
Yeah, I mean, the past couple of years, you got people begging to make the CBI. So,
like, and I think that's just kind of garnering my frustration. Like, you know, we kind of talked about, you know, the teams opting out, everything like that. It's this idea that we're too good for the NIT. We're not. I promise you, we're not.
NIT, I mean, what's now what that rule has done is, as dumb as it is, like, the NIT field is pretty loaded with big name. Like, you want to make a name for yourself, win this game, then go on the road and beat Villanova, who, while not having their greatest year ever,
that's still a
big name. You go on the road and beat Villanova, people are going to be, oh, and then you return a pretty much the most of the team next year. That's where you become, like, to me, this NIT is a great chance for them to jump off into next season. You return a lot of these guys, keep your names, keep these guys' names in the national consciousness. And if you can make a run and beat a couple brand names on the way, all of a sudden next year, like, you're the hipster top 25. You're the hipster pick for 25th from right. somebody's ballot, right? And you get enough of those, and now you start the season where you do have a little bit of room, and maybe you get invited to one of these tournaments with some bigger teams there, and you get a chance to play, and you can play them close instead of having to play, you know, Hofstra, you know, on the road. You get to play right. somebody else good in at a neutral. Like, that stuff's important. And so the chance to put this team out more, you know, if you can get past this kind of first round game, I'd imagine if you're playing at Villanova, that'll be on national TV, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that kind, those kind of games, I mean, even if VCU wins, that's still a pretty good name.
Yeah.
Right. So you've got a chance to go outside your conference and get kind of the games you would love to have to start your season. To me, I'm treating this as the start of next year. Here's your out-of-conference games against pretty decent opponents. You know, it's not going to count towards next year's net or anything, but this is kind of what the opportunities you want. So,
absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the two teams that were in the NIT championship game last season, UAB, UNT, North Texas, back in the NIT this year, who won it, UAB conference tournament champions. NCAA tournament, like, that's more of a realistic springboard than what we were hawked about the CBI.
I wasn't here for the CBI. CBI has never been anything to me.
It was Loyola Chicago won the CBI and then the next year made their run, or 2 years later made their run, something like that. But it was fun to win a championship in 2018, 2019. But the NIT is a little bit more important.
Not many teams. You don't get in college basketball. What is it, only three teams get to end their season with a win?
I think so. And I think there's one more. I think there's four tournaments.
Oh, my Lord. All right. Well, I can't believe that.
But we'll end with this. We'll end this episode with this. I believe that there are 8 conference regular season champions sitting at home that did not get an invite to any tournament or did not want to go to, like, the lower level tournaments. So be thankful for that. We're playing meaningful. This is meaningful basketball in the middle of March. This is going to be fun.
Yes.
Let's enjoy it. It sucks. It's against that team in Oviedo, but go bash their brains in with a better team than you did last year when you beat them twice.
Yeah. And we're going to shortly on the Ponderosa on the Patreon, we're going to preview their matchup against that team in Oviedo. And I have some concerns. just broad strokes. How would you describe UAB? Like, physically,
tall, big, physical. They like to get after it on defense.
Yeah, so that team they're about to play is really tall, really good on defense. So that's a little scary. Now, they're not as good offensively as a team like UAB. At least
they do not have a Yaxel. Let's be honest here.
But they've got a few six. I think they got a 6'11 guy, a 7 foot guy, 6'10 guy, with some athleticism. So that's a little scary. But you know, this is a team that's also lost 15 games. So I don't know. You're hoping that your ability to win some games on the road this year shines through. But we'll go further in depth on the Ponderosa. So if you're not a member, join the Patreon. $10 gets you the extra weekly podcast, which that preview will go under. During the conference tournament, we did previews for the $5 as well. But the, I think there's one game a week in the NIT, right?
Bro,
I think it's one a week.
No, they play. They play tomorrow. They play Tuesday, and then if they won, they would play either the 23rd or 24th, which is Saturday.
So Saturday or Sunday. All right. Well, maybe if they win, we'll probably put out a preview for the $5 people for the second round. So, but this first game will be the extra weekly podcast. So you get four extra podcasts a week at minimum. Sometimes you get more writing and things like that, and access to the Discord, which is a lot of fun. We're going to have if you're in the Discord, we're going to have a bracket challenge with a prize of the winner's choosing. We'll announce more details on that later, but we'll have some options for the winner, possibly. Go ahead, get in the Discord. You can get in the Discord for free. Look at the link on our Twitter/X profile. Links in there for it. Join the bracket challenge. If you win, you can get some cool stuff. So join us in Discord for free if you want the insider section, which is just like every other message board in USF, but half the price and with better info a lot of times. You can join on Patreon for $5. So that's the pitch right there.
That's the pitch. With that, go Bulls. Be safe.
Go Bulls.